Yes, good morning. It is good to be with all of you here at Perkasy this morning. Grateful for this opportunity. I'm glad Wayne has some time to spend with the grandkids. And I know Mary, I think, has been out there for a little while as well. She's also part of Mosaic staff. So I think she got to spend more time, but I'm sure Wayne is grateful to have a couple, I think maybe was it 2 weeks or something? I don't know, a couple weeks with grandkids. Yes, so I'm the Leadership Minister for Intercultural Transformation. It is a big title. I was like, but I do have a team, so it's not just me, thankfully. But yeah, so glad to for the conference and network, doing some different events, sometimes working with specific churches around intercultural issues, or if they're desiring some kind of training or going through a situation that they would like kind of processing, I help support churches in that way. And also one of the co-pastors at Ripple Church. I've been there now for 10 years, a whole decade. I was like, man, wow, it's like, it's crazy to think how God has been so good and faithful, and the different people that I have gotten to meet over the years. And yeah, so I'm grateful for that. And so back in June, we did purchase our building for Ripple Church. So everything went through. We've been enjoying the space. God continues to be faithful. There is a local foundation that had been wanting to partner with us to allow kind of a children's ministry, or help us have some computers in our space for people if they need to apply for jobs, look up Social Security benefits and stuff. So that was a $25,000 grant that we received. So like, we are way ahead in our budget than we thought we might be, right? We were a little nervous and praying that God would be faithful, thankful for good partners, but God continues to be faithful. And so we rejoice and we're thankful for that. I appreciate your witness as Perkasy Mennonite, as part of Mosaic Conference. Thankful for the ways that you are being faithful to how God is leading you and calling you. I'm grateful for your witness in inviting the full body of Christ to be an inclusive church among us and in this community. Hopefully you've been having a good Lent series. We at Ripple, and also at Whitehall, another Mennonite church in Allentown, where Rose Bender Cook is the lead pastor, and Melky Titrapuzza is the associate pastor. We've also been going through the same series, right? Christ Among Us. Thinking of, how is Christ's presence changing us, transforming us? And I've appreciated this series this year in Lent. And something that, for myself, that I've been trying to practice for Lent has been a gratitude journal. So each day, just taking some time, writing down three things that I am grateful for. There's a couple of us in our my circle of guy friends in Allentown, and we often meet Saturday mornings for centering prayer together, sometimes over FaceTime, sometimes in person. But we recognize that some of us deal with a lot of anxiety or fears. And so practicing gratitude, I think, in my perspective, is a way to help cultivate that gratitude, right? We may be worried about some things, but we also have a lot to be grateful for, and it helped us to reframe our minds. So I've also realized I'm pretty bad at like sitting down and journaling. I don't know if any of you are journalers, but I'm not that great at journaling. So it's like, I've had to set a timer or some kind of reminder on my phone to like, all right, it's time to sit down and write my three things that I'm grateful for. So the theme for this week is called The Way of Mercy. Christ Among Us, The Way of Mercy. And as I was looking through the different scriptures and thinking about this phrase, this phrase of the way of mercy just kind of fascinated me. I began to think about this phrase in my own life and in the context of the ministry that I am a part of in Allentown. What does this way of mercy mean? What does it look like? And so I took time to look through the four different scriptures that are part of the lectionary. We didn't read it this morning, but one of the scriptures was from Numbers 21. And just to summarize a little bit of this scripture, right? Moses is with the people of God, and they're starting to grumble and complain, which is something that happens quite a bit, right? As they're wandering through the desert in the wilderness, complaining, right? Oh, it would have been better back in Egypt. Oh, we're tired of this same old food again. And God gets upset at their complaining and sends poisonous snakes out and bites the people. And some of the people start dying. The people then ask Moses, say, Moses, please talk to God. Heal us. We're sorry. Forgive us for complaining. And so God is merciful and tells Moses, take one of the serpents and put it on a pole. And when the people look at it with their eyes, they will be healed. It's interesting, right, that God kind of punishes their complaining, right? There is a piece of judgment that is in God's way. But even though there was judgment, there was mercy. God extended mercy in healing their sins, in healing their bodies. Mercy is given after judgment. In Psalm 107, that was read this morning, it's a long praise that continues to resound. Give thanks to God for God's faithfulness forever. But we also see in some of the verses that we read that people had gone their own way, that people had followed their sinful desires, had chose to go their own path, and now we're afflicted, and now we're in trouble because of the choices that they made. And so they're crying out to God, God, please help us. We have lost our way. We are in danger. We are in peril. And so what does God do? God hears their cries. God forgives their sins. God redeems them and restores them out of their troubles. The way of mercy. God gives mercy when people follow their own destructive path or their own choices. In Ephesians 2, from this letter from Paul, a lot of great theological talk and understanding, right? A reminder that we are dead in our sin and in our disobedience. And yet God loves us and chose to rescue us and redeem us. He goes on to say that salvation is offered as a gift. It's something that is freely given, not deserved, unearned. And that God is rich in mercy. So whenever we think we have exhausted the resources of God's mercy, God finds more mercy. God continues to offer more grace. And then in the gospel text that was read from John 3, it actually, the beginning verses, right, connect to the scripture from Numbers 21 about the pole being raised up, and that Jesus is the same way, it's the same way that Moses raised the pole with the snake, and when the people looked upon it, they were healed and saved. Jesus is that same image. Jesus is that person on the cross, that when we look upon Jesus on the cross, we are healed, our bodies are healed, our sins are forgiven. And we know the famous John 3:16 that maybe some of us have memorized. But it's always important to add on to verse 17, right? That Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but to free us, to love us, to rescue us, to offer his mercy. And there is, right, once again, still a piece of judgment, right? That God is light, that God brings light to free us out of that darkness so that we are able to see his goodness the right way, to leave our old darkness behind. In all of these scriptures, over and over again, we see the mercy of God being poured out freely, unending. Mercy is something that is undeserved. I don't know about many of you and your own life stories or journeys, but man, when I think about it, I was like, God, like what? Why do you continue to be so merciful to me, to us? Why do you continue to pour out mercy upon mercy when we deserve that judgment sometimes, right? When we have gone down our own sinful path, or we said, you know what, God, I probably know better than you. I can handle this on my own. And God, like a loving parent, comes and shows us the right way. Comes and offers us forgiveness. Some of you might know Father Boyle, who he works in Los Angeles with a lot of gang members, has been working many years, has a couple really good books I would encourage you to read. One of them is Tattoos on the Heart, and the other one is Barking to the Choir. And I think he has a third book that just came out, but I'm not sure the title of that. For me, it has been very formative in the ministry that Ripple Church has been doing, and also our nonprofit, Ripple Community Inc. Because so many times when we see people who are, what maybe from our perspective, continue to choose sin or continue to choose their own destructive path, it's pretty easy to have judgment upon them, right? Why are you spending your money this way? Why do you continue to choose your addictions? Why do you continue to choose bad partners or bad relationships? But Father Boyle, in his books and also his lived experience in working with gang members, right, that it's, he tells so many great stories in his books of how, right, when he's out with some of his friends that are former gang members and at grocery stores, and just like the different looks that people have, right? If you see someone that's all tattooed up, like up and really muscular, and it's like, it's pretty scary and intimidating. And he says, oftentimes, right, it's easy to judge and condemn. Wow, right, like those gang members, they're out there killing people, right, killing innocent people, maybe selling drugs, whatever they're doing. But his encouragement really follows this way of mercy, his philosophy, his understanding. What if rather than judging them, we continue to pour out mercy the way that God continues to pour out mercy upon us? We may have different life experiences, but God's mercy is not reserved for a special few. God's mercy is for anyone that seeks to know him, to love him. And in this way, will we not heal people's trauma? Isn't it a better way, rather than bashing someone on the head, reminding them maybe of all their mistakes, making them feel worse about themselves? Because a lot of the times, and in the books he tells us, right, when we have followed our own destructive past, we have so much maybe regret or shame for the things that we did. And so rather than bashing someone on the head, reminding them of that, what if we poured out mercy upon them? What if we poured out love and compassion and grace upon them? He has this great quote from Tattoos of the Heart that says, the way of compassion is standing in awe of what these people have to carry, rather than how they carry it. Standing in awe rather than in judgment. Wow, you have been through so much. In my time in ministry at Ripple Church over these past 10 years, and at our community center, I continue to see this. The people who are homeless, the people who are stuck in their addictions, the people who are sometimes stuck in abusive relationships, wanting to be out, wanting to be free. Right? It's easy to say, well, here's a simple solution. Come on, why didn't you think of this? To stand in judgment. But what if I offer mercy? What if I sit down and listen to their stories? Hear how is the person that they have gone through, the things that they have gone through, the things that I would never want to experience for myself or want my children to experience. Wow, I stand back in awe. You went through all of this and you're still standing. You're still here. You're still making it. You're still trying every day. Standing in awe. When we recognize others' humanity, that they are made in the image of God, when we're willing to sit with people's trauma, they begin to be healed and freed. They begin to experience this way of mercy. We remember that we walk this journey together, that we, like Jesus, can offer this mercy, this way of mercy, walking with one another. Two recent stories that I can think of was a woman named Alicia that I had met maybe 3 or 4 years ago. She had been, there was an organization next to Ripple Community Inc. called VAST, Valley Against Sex Trafficking. And so it was just for women. They had a space there that they could come, and a lot of the staff were trauma-informed professionals. They'd have a shower there for women that could come and get showers if they needed to, and just space if they needed to sleep and relax and feel safe. And from the looks of Alicia, like, she's had a rough life. She had been on the streets for a while. She had been dealing with some, in the past, abusive relationships. She had some substance abuse problems. And oftentimes, like, she was angry. She could pretty quickly, like, there's one staff woman that worked really well with her, was really kind and gracious. And unless you really knew her well, like, she kind of put up her defenses, right? Put up her guards to protect herself because she'd been hurt too many times. And so oftentimes I saw her, like, she was just upset. She was just angry. And a lot of time, right, like, some of that anger that we can share or we experience that we have is really just from hurt. Hurt is just kind of like a defense emotion sometimes that is coming from a place of hurt. She had some outstanding warrants, I'm not sure for what, and so she was gone for a year and a half or so. But a couple months ago, she returned to the community center, and I saw her and I was talking to her, and she was upset. She was looking for housing again, which was difficult with her past. She's looking for work, and things just weren't going well. She was upset about something that had happened in her family. And so we just sat and talked for a while. And she began to cry. And later she told me, she's like, you know what? I kind of remember you from a couple years ago. You were kind of afraid of me, weren't you? I was like, I mean, a little bit, right? I mean, not too much. I was like, I didn't want to upset you. And yeah, we didn't know each other too well. But she's, you know, like, I really appreciate you talking with me today. She's like, you're a pastor, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I was like, oh, that's probably why I was crying. I feel safe around you. But I think of her life. I think of this way of mercy. Right? Once again, you know, maybe if it was a different organization, a different person, they could have had some more harsh judgment. Why are you in this place again, right? Why are you without housing again? Why are you struggling with your addictions again? But what if we continue to offer compassion? What if we continue to be in relationship with one another? To offer words of life and healing? The other person that I think of is a young girl that's part of Whitehall Church. And actually, this past Friday, Mosaic Conference had a junior high late night blast at Quinn. Quakertown Christian School. And she was the speaker. She's in 10th grade. And she was the speaker for that evening. And she just kind of shared her testimony over the past year. She had been struggling with vaping and weed and school, had missed a lot of school days, was just struggling in her school work. The pivotal moment that changed her or helped her kind of wake up was, she had gotten some kind of vape pen that had something other than some other substance that was not good, and had shared it with a friend, and that person had a bad reaction, and like the police were called, the ambulance was called, but also the police. And so she got in trouble and was suspended. And it was at that point that she realized, okay, it's time to wake up. It's time to change. Like, I don't like this feeling. She deals with a lot of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And she realized like vaping and weed was kind of a way to cover up, to kind of suppress some of that emotions that she was feeling or didn't want to deal with. A lot of the times, Pastor Rose at Whitehall and other friends, and sometimes even our own family, would try to talk to her and support her, right? Try to kind of guide her to some better decisions. And oftentimes, like, she was angry. She kind of put up her own defenses and walls. But after that incident, right, like, the guard kind of dropped down. She realized her need for Jesus. She got more involved with Young Life at her school. And looking back a year ago, right, things were so different to where she was then, to where she is now. She seems so much more grounded and rooted in God's love and God's mercy. She's been journaling a lot, and she has such beautiful poetry. And she loved speaking on Friday night in front of the junior high youth. And so many people encouraged her, and you could tell by some of the reactions of the youth that there was something that connected to them. Something in her story connected to their story. Maybe of hurt or the things that they're dealing with, anxiety, depression, loneliness. And I think, wow, like, a year ago, things were pretty rough. Like, Pastor Rose was very stressed out, right? Like, we had kind of a support group, right? Like, to make sure that someone was taking her to school so she got to school, so she wasn't missing. Someone was trying to help her with homework in the evenings. To see where she is now, right? Rather than like throwing up our hands and saying, "Ugh, this is too difficult. You're never going to get it. You don't want to change, so why bother?" But we continued to have compassion. We continued to have mercy and walk with her in those difficult times, in those times where she didn't even want maybe our help. We said, "No, we're going to persist. We're going to persist in offering love." I think about these scriptures and about all these stories in our own lives. Maybe for you, right, like you feel shame maybe about some of the decisions that you have made in your past life. You feel judgment. Father Boyle has this other quote that I love that says, "Behold the one beholding you and smiling." God's too busy loving us to have any time left for disappointment. God is too busy loving you to have any time for disappointment. Wow, what a beautiful idea. What a beautiful truth of God's way of mercy. This is the way of mercy. To love, to continue to pour out mercy when it's not deserved, when it's not earned. Jesus calls us to this way of mercy. May we, as disciples of Jesus, have the wisdom, the compassion, and the strength to do the same. Amen.